In the name of the one true living God, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, fear of death is a reality experienced by all people. Amazingly, the gospel informs us that the death of one person, Christ, accounts for many. Let us listen attentively to God's word from the 5th chapter of the 2nd epistle to the Corinthians. Verses 14 to 17. For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Brothers and sisters, death is much more than a sure natural reality. It impacts not only human beings, but all living things. Animals, fish, insects, plants, and even microbes and viruses die. All forms of life on earth die of one cause or another. We hear about death of people we know and others we do not know. Death is perhaps the most common subject of the local and international news that we hear. It is before us at all times. Most adults have fearful thoughts about it at one point or another. For a significant number, death represents a terrifying prospect. They simply do not want to die. Some spend much time and resources attempting to escape the inevitability of death. Brothers and sisters, the Bible speaks about the reality of death as it is always in connection to its root cause, sin. This goes back to the very beginning of human existence. Our first father, Adam, was warned about death. The divine welcome and instructions were made sternly clear to him. He was told to submit to his Creator's good and pleasant arrangements. They were fit for his comfort and well-being. He was forewarned of the result of failing to accept them. He was told if he does not, he would surely die. The entire Bible addresses the horrible consequence of our first parents' rebellion against God's arrangements. That rebellion resulted in introducing death to humanity and consequently to all forms of life on earth. We read in the 5th chapter of the Apostle Paul's epistle to the Romans, "Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come." Yet the Apostle Paul does not only point out the universal nature of sin and death, but also the divine solution for it. Yes, Adam's sin brought death to all humanity. The gracious and merciful Creator, however, would not totally abandon our human race. He says, "For if, because of the one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. In the next chapter, the logic of the plan is set out. He says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Brothers and sisters, hundreds of years before the coming of Christ, Psalm 68 already spoke of God as the one who provides salvation from death. It says, "Our God is a God of salvation, and to God, the Lord, belong deliverances from death." Indeed, a divine plan was put in place to solve our problem. The plan required God's direct intervention. The Old Testament repeatedly prophesied this. The prophet Isaiah began his 59th chapter on God's saving initiative, saying, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, or his ear dull that it cannot hear." Then the chapter paints a very gloomy and hopeless picture of man's total inability to solve his own problem of sin by himself. We read, "Truth is lacking, and he who departs from evil makes himself a prey. The Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no justice. He saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no one to intercede." Yet Isaiah announces the divine intervention, saying, "God's own arm brought him salvation, and his righteousness upheld him." He goes on to explain how the Lord takes on himself the mission of salvation as our Redeemer. Brothers and sisters, the gospel's message is beautifully amazing. The great news is that Christ's death is counted on our behalf. Yes, in the same way that our first father, Adam, brought death to all humanity. 2 Corinthians 5 says, "One has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised." Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. What a heavenly message! And what an amazingly divine solution to our death problem. In Christ, the root of the problem is faced head-on. Our death problem is too serious to be cheaply solved by some religious efforts. All forms and branches of religion accomplish nothing to solve this immense problem. No religious effort can effectively restore man to his loving and caring Creator. The 9th chapter of the Epistle to the Hebrews sums it up. It says, "Christ has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly awaiting for him." Brothers and sisters, Christ did not come to die to establish another religion, but a new creation, a new humanity. He came to cancel sin and its consequences. In his death, He paid the wages of sin. By giving his life for us, he replaced our death penalty by an abiding new life. Doomed fallen humanity is replaced by a new people, those who cling to him and receive his self-giving gift of love and eternal life. Hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good, that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.